Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Okay, I'm recording a quick episode of Wizards After Dark today because my esteemed guest, Andrew Schlecht, and I are, we're honestly just two close friends, and we sat here bullshitting for 40 minutes, and now we only have 20 minutes to podcast. So let's do this. This is my producer and, listeners of the show now, Andrew Schlecht on the, this time the Zoom line, not the Skype line.
Yeah, glad to be here. Glad to be back on Wizards After Dark. It's been a minute.
It has. We've got some Westbrook stuff to discuss. We've got trade stuff to discuss.
Let's do it.
I figured you'd be good to have on for that. This is how I'm leading the podcast. I am absolutely going to mispronounce this guy's name. I don't know him, but his bio says he's the social media manager for Hoops Hype. Do you know Dionysius Aravantinos?
No.
He's Aravantinos DA on Twitter.
Okay.
He tweeted this out. Dino Radia, do you know who that is?
Uh-huh.
So Dino Radia, European player, says Russell Westbrook and the best NBA players wouldn't win in Europe. Quote, to me, that Westbrook guy, bring him to Barcelona, Cheska, or somewhere else and tell him to be the European champion. No chance that happens.
Wow.
That's a quote.
That's a quote.
I don't even have anything.
Don't tell Russell.
I don't even have anything. Or tell Russell. See what happens.
Yeah. I'll let you be the one to tell him.
Barcelona.
Over a Zoom call.
Barcelona will cease to exist. Russell will just like buy the city of Barcelona and make everybody move out and be like, well, no one's doing anything in Barcelona anymore. He will just destroy it.
Oh, we have to know. We have to know what he thinks about this.
I mean, Russell had a bad experience with the Jazz in a playoff series 3 years ago. And then Thursday night is like, you know what? Still don't care. Going out playing my best game of the year. But 35-15-15. Best team in the league? Don't care. Gonna kill you anyway.
He was amazing. That was a throwback. It's fun that he still has like at least some of that in him because he's spectacular. He's like nobody else.
He's been good lately, actually. He's been a lot better lately. He looks a lot spryer. You know, it's funny. He missed two dunks in the Kings game. Mm-hmm. And then I think my favorite, like Russell Westbrook, the person thing, is he's so competitive, man. He's just,
He's
so competitive. And he missed two dunks in the Kings game. One of them, he tried to throw it down so hard. And he threw it down so hard and it went back rim. And it flew so hard. This was on Wednesday night. And it flew so far. He dunked it so hard that it actually went out of bounds at the half court line.
That's so awesome.
It had like the arc coming off the rim of like a Jamal Crawford three-pointer. Just, just ridiculous. It looked like a Jamal Crawford three-pointer in rewind essentially. And then he missed another dunk in a very similar way later in the game. And then at the very end of the game, he ended up dunking on De'Aaron Fox.
Yep.
Somebody asked him about missing the two dunks after the game. And he said, yeah, I'm not going to miss a dunk again.
Yeah.
Not going to miss it again. And so right off the bat against Utah, like, I think it was the first basket of the game. Just ridiculous two-hand slam in the half court. It's like, you knew that guy came in and was like, I am dunking on someone right away. Do not care about how much energy it takes.
Yes. Oh, that is like, that is the most Russell thing that he could have done, was to just slam it in somebody's face after. I mean, you give him any challenge whatsoever and he will get out there and he'll go do it.
Yeah. He'll, at least he will try.
Yeah.
He will try. If you want him to go up and fight against 500 people, 500 on one, he'll be like, all right, give me the sword. Let's do it.
Does this mean that you think he's going to be like a 90% free throw shooter now that you've officially challenged him?
Oh man. So let's discuss this. So I had a story for this morning and we're going to talk trade stuff later in the show as well. But I had a story for this morning over on the Athletic DC, which, by the way, we're doing a $1 a month deal right now.
You have to go do it. You just have no choice now. Like, we've given deals and now this is the best deal that you can get.
Yeah. I mean, I don't run the company. It's not my company, but like, there's no way we're going to do like a 26 cent a month deal. So like, this is going to be the best deal that we do. If you are not a subscriber and you've been on the fence, go check that out. You can get in on any one of my articles. Does my normal subscription link, is that $1 a month as well? I don't know if that
It will be starting next week, but it's not right now.
Great. So starting next week, if you want to wait till next week, if you want to use the subscription link I always give, theathletic.com/wizardsafterdark, you can go check that out and sign up for $1 a month. Or you can click on any of my stories. And I don't know why we do it this way. It's going to get you the same access to the same site and all the same stories. It's full access to the site. And all you got to do is, you know, click on this story about Westbrook's free throws and it'll pop up as, you know, signed up to The Athletic for $1 a month and you can check that out. But anyway, I did a story on Westbrook's free throws and, you know, he's been better this week. He was 9-for-11 against Utah last night and he was 9-for-12 the night before against Sacramento. So that doesn't sound unbelievably remarkable, but in his previous 16 games, and I didn't put this in the story, but this is a crazy stat. In his previous 16 games, he had only shot 75% from the line in a game one time.
Wow.
15 out of 16 games, he shot worse than 75%. And that one time when he shot 75%, he was just 3-for-4. So it's just, it's incredible what the struggles were. You know, he shot over 80% seven times in his career. And he's a shade below 60 now. Yeah. And, you know, no, as I wrote in this story, no guard in the history of the league who already has an 80% season on his resume has shot below 60% in a later season in his career. it's just wild. Like, it's been 4 years manifesting and it's just very abrupt and weird.
It is weird. And it's just, it feels mental. It feels like he's overthinking it. And especially with your story, when you talk about like the way that he stands, it's just like, it just seems like everything is overthought. And a lot of times you see this happen with people at the free throw line, that once it gets in their head, it's just almost impossible to overcome. And it's just funny, like Russell Westbrook, some of his like most iconic moments for the Thunder were at the free throw line. I mean, specifically game 5 of the 2014, Western Conference semis against the Clippers. He goes to the line after Chris Paul fouls him at the 3-point line and sinks all three to essentially win the game. And they still had to play defense on the other end, but Chris Paul had certainly choked that one away. And then Westbrook like won the game because he sunk all three. And Kevin Durant, there's a picture of Kevin Durant sitting on the other side of the court. Can't even watch him. He's sitting facing the opposite direction. And this is like one of the most iconic moments. And he just ice cold, man, just sinks all three. And it's just odd to think of him as a guy that, you know, if he's in that moment again, like maybe he doesn't make those. And if, I mean, Thunder history changes if he doesn't make those, because the Clippers win that game, they go up 3-2. And they're like, what happens? Like, where do they go from there? And, you know, it's weird to think about him as a poor free throw shooter, but he has been for a little while.
It's very weird because the thing with Westbrook, kind of the, and this is a narrative thing, it's not an analysis thing, but like the thing with Westbrook was that his game night to night has always been inconsistent. Now the levels of inconsistency and the range of inconsistency has changed as he became an MVP type player. And now as he's kind of hitting the tail end of his prime, you know, those ranges have changed and he can still hit those highs. And now his lows are lower, but he's always, even when he was an MVP, he's been an inconsistent player. That's kind of what he is. He's this spontaneous ball of energy, which, mm-hmm. you know, when you take a Super Bowl in a 6x6 room and you shoot it out of a pitching machine, it's like, it's going to go in some crazy spots. And yep. like, if you want it to hit particular spots on the wall, when it hits those spots, you're going to be like, oh man, I can't believe it hit that spot. But sometimes it's not. And it's always going to be crazy to watch that Super Bowl bounce around that room.
Yes.
And that's Russell's game, right? But the one consistency with him was always like the free throws. And it wasn't that he was good. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was very good, but it was mm-hmm. that he shot the same percentage every year. Like he was 80, except for 1 year when he fell all the way to 78%, which is still totally mm-hmm. reliable. He was like 80 to 84 every single year. He was never 89. He was never 75. He was always just in the low 80s every mm-hmm. year. And it was totally consistent. You knew that guy at any given point was going to make 4 out of 5 free throws.
Yep.
And which is very good. It's very nice to be able to just depend on a guy like that to that degree. And it's just weird to see it happen with someone of, you know, this caliber of player. So for this story, I kind of dug into it. I looked at kind of how he's changed his form throughout this year. You know, he's been a little bit more up out on his toes of late when he releases the ball. He was falling back on his heels earlier in the year, and his footing has changed since the OKC days. It was much more narrow, and I looked at a theory that he has posed for his free throws, which was 4 years ago. And you know, he doesn't talk about this stuff much, so mm-hmm. at all, really. So it makes free throws are like difficult to analyze, but you know, I've got a Bob Harrison reference in there. Bob Harrison, who shot 79% from the line 1 year and then shot 59.5% in another one in 1954. And I looked it up and he's still around. He's 93 years old.
That's awesome.
And I considered, apparently he was the coach at Kenyon College and then he was the coach at Harvard after he retired in I think the 70s. And I considered being like, should I try to contact Bob Harrison for this story? Or is that too much?
That is way too much, but it would be like the most Fred thing to do.
Oh my God. I was like, I feel like I should contact Bob Harrison, but I feel like even for me, that's just like he coached at Harvard. Harvard basketball has to have his information.
Yeah.
He's still around. Yeah. He's 93. I don't know what condition he's in, but good for Bob Harrison. I learned in the course of reporting the story that in like 1957, Bob Harrison led the NBA in field goal percentage. And he shot 38.6%.
Oh my gosh.
that's how far back you have to go for a stat that even comes close to this. And you know, it doesn't even really come close with this statistical
precedent. That is so wild. That is so, so weird.
Bob Harrison, the legend.
Hey, let's talk trades.
Let's talk trades. Everybody's favorite thing, trades. Since we're a little limited on time today, I'm not going to take my wildly popular segment, which I have named, I think this is a proper noun now, taking Twitter questions from people and answering them on the podcast.
Yeah.
I think it's a really...
It's a good segment name. Yeah.
It's a really good segment name. I think we should come up with a jingle for it.
Hey, I can do this. You ask, and I think you might be joking, but this can be done.
I am joking, but I also want it done.
Yeah.
Taking Twitter questions from people and what did I say? Taking Twitter questions from people and answering them on the podcast.
And answering them on the podcast. Yeah.
That's what we'll call it. After Dark.
We'll have my buddy Luke sing it.
Oh God. Luke. Oh maniac.
He would do it.
Oh God.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Let's talk trades. I wrote two trades related pieces this week, and the trade deadline is March 25th. I wrote a thing with David Aldridge earlier this week. Again, if you're not a subscriber, go check it out. Go to the link of that story. Sign up right there. $1 a month. You can check it on my Twitter. You can just search my author page. If you just Google Fred Katz, The Athletic, it's probably the first thing that'll come up is just the page with all my stories.
Yep.
Go click on one of those stories and sign up off of there. But I wrote something with David Aldridge and I wrote something later with John Hollinger, kind of where I proposed made up hypothetical Wizards trades to him and he responded to them. The crux of what I reported with DA was, for now, opposing teams believe that the Wizards are trying to find a way into the play-in tournament. And league sources have mentioned four young candidates Washington is open to moving: Troy Brown, Mo Wagner, Jerome Robinson, and your boy Isak Bonga, who was so Bonga last night against Utah. I mean, there was Bonga all over the court.
The disrespect to Bonga, I don't even know if I were a Wizards fan, I'm not sure I could be anymore. It's horrible.
His on-offs are still hilarious.
Of course they are.
They're not moving.
Yeah. They won't. You just need to play them more, Scotty. I know you're listening, Scott. Give me more Bonga. Free Bonga.
Let me call this up on the on cleaning the glass. So we've got here we go. The Wizards right now. So the Wizards last year were 9.9 points per 100 possessions better. So 10 points per 100 possessions better on defense when Bonga was on the floor. To give you a perspective of like how great that is, that's the 97th percentile.
It's very good.
You know what the number is right now?
What?
They're 15 points per 100 better when Bonga is on defense.
Free Bonga.
And you know what's the best is they're 7 points per 100 worse on offense.
Yeah.
Which overall, by the way, means that
they're still good.
Plus eight.
Still good.
Plus eight.
Still okay.
Really good. So he's now the 99th percentile in defensive on-offs.
Wow.
And the 13th percentile in offensive on-offs.
That's awesome.
Which is, look, on-off numbers are very, I'm totally down with people who are skeptical of them and present them without context.
Sure.
Especially yeah. He's played 247 minutes this year.
Which is wild. Like that is a basketball tragedy.
Yeah, he's played 247 minutes. Like, I get it. You want to say that a guy who's played 247 minutes, his on-offs are BS, that's fine. You don't need to convince me otherwise. But that kind of matches the eye test there. I mean, it in a hilarious way. But there's just something going so weird. On. When he comes in, their defense is good.
Yeah, that's so weird.
It's all really right. Amazing. So here's the thing, though. If we're talking about trades, like, I don't think they could really get anything of value for him.
Definitely not. I don't know who would do it at this point.
You would.
I mean, I'd bring him on. I mean, you just, the Thunder have got some cap space. They just throw him under the Thunder. Is he a minimum contract?
Yeah, he was second round. He's a free agent after this year.
Okay.
So, you know, but whatever. If you want to re-sign Isak Bonga, you can re-sign Isak Bonga.
Yeah, it will not. Yeah, there won't be a struggle to bring on Bonga.
Right. I mean, he's not. It's not like he's commanding money on the open market as a restricted free agent. I mean,
right.
He's not getting an offer sheet. You know, you can bring back Bonga possibly for a minimum deal. So
yeah, without a doubt. So Fred, who? What are they going to do? Are they going to make a move? Are they going to bring in anybody? Because really, I mean, they need depth. They need to add competent players to this team. Are they going to be able to do that?
I don't know. I mean, I think they're trying to make it to the play-in tournament. That's what the word has been, at least around the league. That's the impression that other teams have gotten from the way that they've negotiated with them. So I think they're going to try to find that way. Now, one of the things that's really interesting is like they beat the Jazz last night, and it shouldn't matter. You have one win when you're 15-25, but I feel like vibes are a big thing with them. The vibes are good after beating the Jazz, and we'll see what happens. They have the Nets on Sunday. They have the Knicks on Tuesday, and then it's the deadline. And if they go into the deadline, you know, if they go into the deadline, losing to the Nets, losing to the Knicks, they're 15-27. I know this is, you know, a play-in tournament situation where they're trying to get in. They're only three games out or whatever they are. But like, if you go into, it's really hard to go into the deadline and still have that mentality. You know, we clarify in this piece, this was written 9 days before the deadline. Things change. If they go in hot, you know, it's not, look, I wouldn't be trading my young guys for veterans in that situation. You know,
Wayne Ellington or
exactly.
Whatever.
It's one thing to trade for a veteran you believe you can flip later. You know, George Hill was someone I mentioned in the Hollinger piece because he's under contract for next year.
Yep.
And he's available.
Flip him again.
So you could flip him again next year if you have to, and you can get something for him, probably something pretty similar to what you would have to give up right now.
No doubt. Yeah.
You know, I think Troy Brown would have to be included in that deal. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if that would be enough. I'm sure OKC has a lot of offers for him. I think OKC is sitting on a lot of offers.
I think. Yeah. I would guess that is not enough for George Hill.
Me neither. I think it needs to be, you know, Troy Brown, good second round pick. And then I don't even know if that's enough. And I don't even know if I'd do that if I were the Wizards. But they want to make the play-in tournament is what everybody in the league seems to think. I don't think they're going to give up a second round pick for a Wayne Ellington type. I don't think that's
you should not. You should not.
I don't think it's going to be a replica of the Ernie Grunfeld stuff. Just based on
that's good.
Just based on Tommy Shepard's track record. You know, he has, for the most part, he's done a good job, even though this is an organization that wants to make playoffs, he's done a good job not destroying their future in the process. You know, he makes those fringe moves. You know, they're getting rid of Isaiah Thomas. They don't just waive him like I thought was going to be a possibility. They find a way to sneak into a deal where the Clippers need to shave luxury tax money. And they're like, let's take back Jerome Robinson and give him a try. And it didn't work, but they're taking swings at fringe young guys, the edge of the roster. That's how they got Bonga. That's how they got Wagner, who I don't think you can get much for either because they didn't pick up his option. You know, it's how they got, you know, it's how they got a lot of, you know, a bunch of, that's how they got Bertans. They're good at those fringe things and they seem to prioritize that. So I see a lot of Wizards fans freaking out about, oh no, they want a veteran. There are different ways to go about getting a veteran that can be not irresponsible or at least not as bad as trading 2 second round picks for, you know, George Hill or even worse, 2 second round picks for Garrett Temple. And they can't trade for Trevor Ariza again.
No, they can't. Unless Miami wants to part with him. Like maybe they could. Maybe if they did something dumb, they could get Trevor back.
They Rasheed Wallace him.
Right.
Exactly. I know we got to wrap up in a second. We did a quick hitter today. Do you have anything? Why don't you tell my listeners about your awesome show that you're hosting on Saturdays now?
Yeah, it's a really fun show on the Athletic NBA show feeds. So it's called Saturday Slam and Jam. This week we are talking trade deadline. We are talking about the surging Atlanta Hawks. And then we bring on Eric Name to talk about the Bucks. And, you know, do we take the Bucks seriously enough? Is Giannis a MVP candidate even? Like, what do we do with that? So we discuss that, and then we do a trivia show where I inevitably just get crushed every week. So it's a very fun show. I hope you guys will join us.
It's a great show. You guys should check it out. Subscribe to that. Subscribe to Wizards After Dark if you're just randomly listening to this episode. Subscribe to The Athletic. If you go to any of my stories, you can sign up for $1 a month. Or I guess starting next week, you can go to theathletic.com/wizardsafterdark and you can sign up for $1 a month there. Give us a review on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. Give the written reviews. Those are super nice. I'm going to do a podcast with Standig. I'm going to force Standig to do a podcast with me early next week. And we're going to do like a full-on trade deadline preview, just talking trade deadline stuff. So we'll hit heavy on all of that. And I'm sure Ben will come armed with his takes because he's the greatest. So I will be back sometime early next week. I'll talk to you guys then.